Right now, it's time for the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care and Generator Supercenter.
Isn't there a song, Are You Going to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Or is that, Are You Going to Scarborough Fair?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Now, there's a song that says, Are You Going to San Francisco? Yeah.
But that's, isn't that the same as, Going to Scarborough
Fair? One is Simon and Garfunkel. The other one is Mamas and the Papas?
Oh, that's Creed?
We'll say it's Creed.
That's same difference. Same difference. All right. Well, I'm just wondering, how many famous songs are there about San Francisco?
A bunch.
There's Lights by Journey.
Yeah.
I Left My Heart in San Francisco. Are You Going to Scarborough Fair? That's about San Francisco.
No.
Well, I was just curious. What is the...
We Built This City.
That's about San Francisco?
Yeah.
Whoa. Is it really?
I believe so, yeah.
No, he's making that up.
Because they're from here.
REO Speedwagon's from here? Or is that Starship?
Starship.
Oh, I always confuse those two.
Oh, God, I hate that city so much. I mean, that song so much.
What, We Built This City?
It's widely acknowledged as the worst song of all time. And you can look that up.
No, it is. You're right. It always ranks the top of the list. And that's, you know, but we've talked about it before, that weird Ship of Theseus name of that band.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson Airplane, then Jefferson Starship, and then just Starship. So confusing.
I remember
replace it one piece at a time.
The first time I heard that song, I thought, this is god awful.
Yeah.
The lyrics, the music, the thong, 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 everything about it.
And I think you'd be appalled to know how many songs did not become number one. Like Journey, that band that had so many hits, never had a number one song.
Unbelievable.
And We Built This City was number one.
Yes, but how so many people love that song is unbelievable to me.
It may have been about Los Angeles or Sunshine. One of the two.
Okay, geez. Why are you leading us astray like this? I really counted on that information being true.
I just always thought it was about San Francisco.
Okay.
But I guess not.
All right. Okay. Well, we start off with this little sports note for you. Did you see where Tony Dungy, which close personal friend of mine and Craig's, as he walked right by us last night and looked so frail.
Media night.
Yeah.
Opening night.
That we didn't want to scare him and possibly cause death, so we didn't approach him. But so they're going to be broadcasting from Alcatraz. That's their special location out here.
For the pregame show?
Yeah, the NFL announced that yesterday. That's where they're going to be doing their scene setters to get the spirit of San Francisco. Alcatraz.
Hmm.
Seems a little weird, right?
Yeah. A little strange.
But where else would you do it in San Francisco to be? Because where is San Francisco's Bourbon Street or Times Square?
If it were me, I would do it at that park on the north end of the city with the Golden Gate Bridge behind me.
Golden Gate Park?
I don't think that's Golden Gate Park, is it?
I don't know.
There are two big parks.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
There's one giant park. It's like the Central Park.
Tuileries Garden.
No, and I think that might be Golden Gate Park. The one I'm talking about is a smaller park, but it's right on the water. I'll look it up.
Yeah, anything you could do if it had, like, the Golden Gate Bridge in the background would be beautiful. But Alcatraz, having a broadcast from a prison.
No, Golden Gate Park is the long Central Park-like thing. What I'm talking about is
Brandenburg Park.
No, I don't know what the name of it is, but you have a spectacular view of...
Clyde Warren.
Oh, it's the Presidio.
Yeah.
Presidio of San Francisco is where I would put him with the bridge behind me. Or Fisherman's Wharf. What about that?
Yeah. One of the piers down there?
I think that's a weird term. A wharf.
Yeah, what is a wharf?
Is that different than a pier?
Same kind of thing.
I think a wharf is a lot of piers.
Okay.
It's like a bunch of boat dock piers together in one area.
What's a marina?
Same thing.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, George. We have all these other terms. How many times do you use wharf?
Only when you talk about an area of a city, that's on the coast. That's Fisherman's Wharf.
Okay, a wharf is a structure on the shore of a harbor or a bank of a river or canal where ships may dock to load and unload cargo or passengers.
Same thing.
It just seems like an antiquated term. We need to go watch some sea lions.
I've done that out here.
Yeah, I've already seen them.
When they all gather up and act all creepy and move like slugs.
Where'd you see them, George?
Down at Pier 39.
Oh, okay.
The wharf.
Don't call it a wharf. Wharf sounds like a Dungeons & Dragons character. Yeah, I'm a third level wharf.
Let's rename this show the Muser's Wharf.
No.
Where we load and unload hot sports opinions.
Yeah, okay. Well, you did kind of loosely tie it back in, so that counts. As Junior mentioned earlier in the show, just a really weird experience last night for media opening night. And, Giorgio, you pointed out how they've completely missed the opportunity to make a lot of money, which they've done in years past by inviting the fans there and selling 10,000 seats.
And they may operate on a loss because they have to, the NFL doesn't own those arenas. They have to rent them out. And I swear, I think it's almost like a budgetary thing of, you know what, we don't have to rent out an arena anymore. Heck with it.
Well, I'm here to officially declare the age of the media opening night dead.
Yeah.
It's, and the thing is that used to, when we used to start doing these media days, is what we called them then, when we'd go out there, the ticket would do bits, but most other people were doing serious stuff. Now it's nothing but bits. Everybody that I heard asking questions was all asking boxes or briefs, and it was just everything was just full of cringe and just okay, it's done.
But it used to attract everybody in entertainment and media. You know, we would always see the. Hey, wow, there's so-and-so.
Yes.
Whether it was Chris Berman or whoever.
You don't see Chris Berman's out there anymore. You don't, and he can speak a little bit more intelligently than that. you make him sound like a penguin that's being euthanized by his buddy with a pillow in a hospital bed.
I'm going to take his questions to Sam Darnold in an interview they did a couple of weeks ago, and every question was almost like that.
Boxers or briefs?
That's how far he is fallen. Yes. He can't even speak the language anymore.
You play for the Seahawks.
You guys always overrated him.
No.
Always. He was the greatest.
Back in the, say, 1990s, Chris Berman was it when it came to NFL highlights, Sports Center, anything on ESPN. Yep. I didn't like him doing baseball so much. I liked just about everything he did.
You didn't like the back thing?
I mean, that was okay. I didn't like him doing play-by-play of baseball. But everything else he did, he was a god.
Yeah. You didn't like the way he would.
No one was better on highlights than Berman.
Count on his fingers, and he'd start with his pinky. He'd touch his pinky with his other index finger.
Yeah.
And then he'd go to his ring finger, and for the next five, he would count just on his ring finger, touching that ring finger over again.
Remember in the early years of the ticket, I actually did at Chris Berman when we would do primetime, fake primetime 840 bits, and I did Berman.
I don't remember that. Yeah, wow.
Bring that back.
And it was probably terrible. But I loved him, so I watched him all the time. I felt like I could do his voice.
Sometimes I will still wait till halftime on Monday night just to hear the fastest 2 minutes.
Yeah.
He still has hilarious moments when he does highlights.
What?
Yeah, he was funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is funny.
Like, even when you've interviewed him at the Super Bowl, he's been funny.
Yeah, he tries to put up with your Roman Polanski questions every time.
I asked him one Roman Polanski.
That's the only time you talked to him?
Every year.
No. Okay. It was the only time. He makes it sound like that's all I... Well, actually, I did.
You
kinda,
did. That was the
I
bit
would revisit
every year.
It. I would see if he would pick up on the fact that, wow, this is the third year in a row I've been asked about Roman Polanski.
Let's see. What's going on? I mean, 2002, Roman Polanski. 2003, Roman Polanski. Roman Polanski, I was asked 3 years in a row. Well, and you're right on the last point he would make. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circled the wagons.
He was so great. All of us in this business should be lucky
Absolutely.
To get anywhere near the top of the mountain that he was at in the 90s and the early aughts.
True. And that early core of Sports Center guys.
Dan Patrick.
Yeah. That was very
all those guys.
Ticket-like when they started that thing, and they kind of started a whole new those guys at least started a whole new form of broadcasting.
Yeah.
It sports. Really was. Early first 15 years, 20 years of ESPN, it was spectacular.
Yeah. So you had Berman, and you had Dan Patrick, and you had Keith Olbermann was in there.
Yeah.
Early days, Tom Mees, Charlie Steiner in there somewhere.
Charlie Steiner, Bob Lee.
Bob Lee was great.
Bob Lee was funny?
No, he was just really good. He was a great desk guy.
Young Robin Roberts, she was great.
Yeah.
Oh, Craig Kilborn was in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Somebody else. Who else was in there?
He could go all the way.
Berman, all the way. Berman and Tom Jackson.
Yeah.
Were such a great duo.
Tommy.
Tommy. Doing highlights.
Where's he
from? I remember one of our first Super Bowls, and we were out. I think the three of us were just out to dinner, and we saw a couple tables over Berman and Tom Jackson, or they were walking in and walking.
Yeah.
And I was starstruck.
Me too.
So we did not see any of those guys last night.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's no longer the the who's who of media anymore.
We
that's
did see a few famous people. The most famous ones I saw outside of the players who were there because they had to be there were Tony Dungy and Guillermo. Okay, I don't need smothered Chris Berman riding shotgun.
Yeah, I was trying to talk to Guillermo, and he was busy, and it was just a terrible night.
And I understand why those guys don't do it, because they can't do their job because everyone else treats them as celebrities and wants to interview them.
Right.
And so they can't go around there.
I did find it interesting. I don't know if you saw this, but he has a guy feeding him lines in his ear.
Guillermo?
Yeah.
And
I guess he's just like a writer or something. But,
yes.
And he had some pretty funny lines.
That's the thing that a lot of people, and I never understood that either, like all that stuff, they have writers that help them out.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people that you think are funny, yes, they are funny. That's how they get to where they are. But then it switches over to a whole team of writers. And
Guillermo would say about one of every eight things that this guy would say, and he had some really funny lines. And I wanted to talk to that guy, find out who he was. I'm sure he's just like a comedian or something.
So the guy was standing back away from Guillermo?
Man, they had like eight people going around with Guillermo, from a cameraman to a producer to the funny lines guy who had a microphone.
So he had a microphone that would talk into an earpiece that Guillermo was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I wish you had rolled tape on the funny line guy.
Yeah, I just felt like I was in their way, and I just rolled tape on it. I should have, though.
Do you remember when Dan McDowell told the story of going to see Conan? And for some reason, he got to go, because, he was a huge Conan fan. And for some reason, he got to go up to the desk after the show was over with.
Hmm.
And he said Conan killed it. He was great, and just funny as all get out. And then Dan went up to the desk afterwards, and because he had some kind of special access, and he kept some papers, I think, that were in Conan's desk, like stuff that they weren't using anymore. And all of the ad-libs that he thought that were...
Those were written.
Yeah, quick-witted Conan coming up with, great. They were all written.
Wow, that's so disappointing.
I know. But I don't know why that is. We always want people to just be so ad-lib funny when... It's like people used to get these questions about funny movies. Did you guys just ad-lib most of that movie? We always wanted it to be ad-lib. Mm, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, no, we wrote it to be funny.
Talk shows, though, are supposed to
I
be
know.
Ad-lib.
Yeah. And certainly a lot of it has to be. But if, a student of comedy like Dan was even, taken aback.
Yeah.
Wow, that was so seamless that I thought he had ad-libbed this. He was even fooled.
Now, a talk show monologue, scripted.
Absolutely.
But everything else, you would think, for the most part, is ad-libbed. That's disappointing.
So, yes. And P1's got to see it, get to see it here, and probably will this week, or hear it here, when I go around with the wireless microphone. Sometimes they may pick up on you guys feeding me questions. I don't know if they've seen that I also have a team of writers that give me really, really great
Ours
questions.
Ours aren't as funny.
to ask people.
Tell her you need to be in love with her.
Oh, I can't wait to do that. A little bit later this week when it gets a little busier. It's pretty quiet,
it's pretty
in
empty
here now.
Yeah. Yeah.